Good morning, concerned citizens, friends, for another bi-weekly episode of Fixing Healthcare from the Trenches. I'm Dr. Alejandro Badia, here with many colleagues, friends, trying to make an impact in healthcare. Today, I'm very, very honored to have someone who really could really make a difference, a prominent legislator, a United States Senator, Dr. Bill Cassidy, who is a physician, grew up in Baton Rouge. Went to LSU, right, for college and med school. Did a lot of work in public hospitals, set up community clinics during Katrina. Turned a Kmart, I understand, into a big center. Really great stuff. And then first elected to the Louisiana Senate almost 20 years ago, and then the House, and then 2014 U.S. Senator on his second term, I believe. He's on multiple committees. He may delve into some of them, particularly health, education, labor, and pensions. He's now the ranking member of that critical committee. And he's the first physician on that committee, by the way, in about almost 100 years. And his wife also is a general surgeon, Dr. Laura Cassidy. So welcome, Senator Cassidy.
Alejandro, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. You mentioned LSU, go Tigers.
That's right. Actually, I saw one of your linebackers. I can't say the name, day before yesterday. So I visited there. I was there in the days of Dr. D'Ambrosio, who ran the orthopedic department, as you know. So it's a fantastic institution, continues to be. So we're in agreement. I was fortunate enough to have breakfast with you, right, in the Senate dining room some years ago with my children in the midst of the pandemic. And I got to tour the Capitol, and God, what a great experience for me as a proud American and immigrant. I want to reiterate to our listeners that Dr. Cassidy, Senator Cassidy, is obviously very interested in this because of his breadth of experience. But you know, as all Americans, we must be interested in a topic that involves 20% of our GDP. And it is not sustainable the way it is. So something has to be done to fix it. So I've asked Senator Cassidy to come on and give us his thoughts.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. We got lots of issues before us, if you will. Lots of issues. And if you think about it, it's 20% of our nation's GDP. So right. It is expensive to the employer, to the federal government, to the state government, and also to the individual.
Right. To family.
Now, you can make it cheap for the individual, but really rack up the cost for society, and that can break the bank for society.
Right.
Cheap for the individual, but cost the employer a lot. You can make it cheap for the employer and stick it to the employee. So we've got to kind of recognize there's different payors. How do we come up with a system which, balances it, the responsibility for all? And Alejandro, you understand all that, but I just want to kind of table set, if you will, as we go forward.
Absolutely. And just to be clear, and I'm not sure exactly of your answer, but given what we've seen with our Canadian friends and now the NHS in England, the public health system, for those listening, what are your thoughts on this single payer system for our huge country? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that the American people would be very dissatisfied with a single payer system. Yeah. It's hard to tell the American people anything. Like, you can't do this or you have to do that. And so when you read
about Americans.
Americans.
Yeah.
So when you read about the National Health Service refusing to allow a baby to go to Italy for what the parents thought might be life-saving therapy because the National Health Service in England thought, no, you're not going to do that, period, and we're not going to let you. What?
Yeah,
you just can't believe that the Americans just cannot comprehend that. So a single payer system in which inevitably the government would be rationing what you received would be poorly received. By the way, someone will say, "Well, the government doesn't ration." Yeah, they ration by what they will pay. They just do it in a little bit of a sneakier fashion. And lastly, I'll say this. Medicare has got lots of inefficiencies, lots of fraud. There was just like $1.2 or $2.2 billion spent on catheters for you can't urinate, so they put a catheter up your urethra, up your penis, up your whatever. And there's like over a billion wasted on this, and like no one ever picked it up.
I'm embarrassed to say that it's been said that 50% of that comes from my county, Miami-Dade County. I'm very forthright with people about that. That I don't know how true that is, but certainly there's a huge amount where I live. So I'm enraged about it in particular because it hurts everybody else, the honest clinicians who you know are struggling to get fair payment. And then you're as you say, Senator, there is huge fraud that all we have to do is really look under the hood. It's not difficult to find.
So the single payer puts that fraud onto the taxpayer. But when you read that Medicare trust fund is going insolvent, broke, if you will, in 4 years, there's a price to pay. So just because I'm paying less because of single payer, no, I'm paying less directly, but society is still paying. Right. And that's what we have to be concerned about.
So what would you say are three, when I ask my guests, what are three broad common sense initiatives that we could really try to get enacted that would change, that would really lower cost?
We've got to address Medicare insolvency. And there's a variety of initiatives you can do for that, number one. Okay. Number two, I also think related to that, but also just lowering the cost of health insurance in general, we need to have more price transparency. If it's cheaper to get something done in an ambulatory surgical center than a hospital, the patient should know that. That just makes sense. And lastly, there is a group of patients who are qualified for both Medicare and Medicaid called dual eligibles. Society spends a lot of money on those folks, and they, on average, live 15 years less than everybody else. So we spend a lot of money, and we get lousy outcomes.
That has been the criticism, right, of our system, is we spend so much money, and we are very low on many of the markers of health on the industrialized country spectrum.
Yeah, so, but I'm going to push back a little bit on that.
Okay.
Because if you look at everybody above age 65, which is the point at which people are on Medicare, we actually live longer. The reason that our longevity is less is that we have more people die of gunshot wound. We have more people die of HIV. We have more people die of overdoses. And that's more of a societal issue than it is a healthcare issue. That's so if folks say we spend more, we get worse outcomes. Yeah. Yeah, we get worse outcomes in part because of a lot of societal issues.
Right, which are other related things, of course, that I think physicians should be involved in, right? I mean, this so-called SDOH, social determinants of health, which are things that we can improve. So let me, before I give you my three points, I want to, the transparency one has been discussed a lot. So I'll give you an example. I mean, as you know, Senator, I'm a surgeon and you're a gastroenterologist. So both of us try to do procedures in an outpatient facility, right? It is less costly. It's only in this past year. Yesterday, I did a revision shoulder replacement. I've been doing them outpatient for about 15 years now, but I couldn't do any of the Medicare patients. So it's ironic that Medicare allowed us to do hip and knee replacements outpatient that you have to walk on. You have to leave the surgery center. And yet, a shoulder replacement where you just put in a sling, they weren't allowing us until now. So what's the lesson here, I think, is let the clinicians make decisions as to what is safe and what can be done rather than dictating to us from above, because we know how to save money, right? We are in the trenches and that happened. One of the things I do is for the base of the thumb. I mean, that's a very simple procedure for the patient. I was not able to do that in Medicare patients because I had to go to the hospital so that the implant would be paid for. So for for medical listeners, be aware that Medicare does not pay for the actual implant except if you're on this list. And many surgeries still are not on that list. So that's a one common sense transparency thing that I agree, Senator, we need to change.
And by the way, just so people understand, when Dr. Padilla, when you do that in the hospital, not only does Medicare pay a lot more, the patient pays more.
Right.
If she's going to pay less if she has that procedure done at the ASC, and Medicare is going to pay less. And so that's both price transparency, but it is also kind of common sense. At some point, common sense has got to reign if we're going to lower cost.
Well, that has been a challenge. But to address what you just said is that the public also needs to know that there's associated costs in a hospital you're just not going to have in an outpatient surgery center. I mean, many times you'll have a consultation with somebody who comes in and, you know, listens to your heart and lungs, and there's a bill. Nosocomial or hospital acquired infections are higher. It's not that the hospital is negligent. It's just that you have a place with sick people, right? And there's going to be more infections and other type of complications. And we've already demonstrated transparently that isn't the case in outpatient surgery centers. So it's a question of getting our government to help with legislation in these issues.
Yes, I agree with that totally. So some of it, CMS, so the Centers for Medicare Services, has got to be more agile in terms of listing things. But going back to price transparency, if a hospital owns a physician's practice and owns a facility in which the physician is doing the procedure, then they are going to charge substantially more than if the doctor is not owned. So right. This is where it's full score price transparency. If I see a cardiologist, the practice is owned by the hospital, it's the same doctor, it is the same type of ultrasound machine, the same type of technician, and I'm going to be charged sometimes 5x relative to if I go to a physician whose practice is not owned by a hospital. Now, if the patient knows that, if she says, wait a second, I can look here and it costs me 5 times than if I go there, but both groups are good and it's the same procedures, et cetera, why don't I go to the cheaper? That's where price transparency allows the patient to have influence on how this process works. And she saves money. The system saves money, but she saves money too by going to the lower cost setting of care.
Well, I guess that's where we have to hammer it is, as much as I'd like to think that people care about this at a societal level, if it hits their pocketbook, yep. We need to maybe educate more. And well, you know, we don't have time to delve into the hospital lobby. Obviously, that's a big issue. And we all know we need hospitals. But my God, I think that everybody needs to play in a sandbox. And some people are going to have to give up a little turf. It's that simple.
Otherwise, well, the hospitals will argue, rightly so, that yeah. Wait a second, we have to run an ICU pay ICU.
It's
expensive.
We get
pay them for that, right? Yeah. Don't ask them to subsidize some care with care from others. No, pay them rightly for the amount that they've got to do, and yeah. That which they don't have to do, then you can shift that to the outpatient setting.
That's right. That's right. That's wonderful. So I'm going to give you my three very quickly. So we touched on this in terms of outpatient surgery centers. I strongly believe that patients seeing the right clinician at the right time is critical. Mm-hmm. The days of, you know, the family doctor seeing everything, it's, you know, when I see a patient with, say, a wrist problem and they come in, I did it today. Person had a CT scan and MRI, and I said, geez, I just want to see the plain x-ray and let me examine you. The clinician has a gestalt from experience, and we have to understand that medicine is too complex, and we want our primary care colleagues to focus on keeping us healthy and managing chronic disease, rather than, you know, them being forced by the insurance company to, you know, be this gatekeeper. We saw that. So, you know, right clinician, right time. The second one is we mentioned authorization, right? I believe we need to have oversight, but not authorization. The authorization for those listening is where every step of the way, my office has to get approval for something I know with my experience and training needs to be done. Why do we have these middle people that command a salary and benefits and suck money out of the system? It really doesn't make sense. And the last one is what we're doing, Senator Cassidy, Dr. Cassidy, is public education. We need to educate the public about these and where it's hitting them in the pocketbook, and the fact they will not be happy with a one-payer system. We are Americans. We want choice. We have incredible country, incredible technology. Let's streamline it and just make it more cost effective.
Yeah, I'm totally agreement with you. By the way, going to the right clinician at the right time. My real specialty was liver disease. I always say liver disease, not hepatology. You say hepatologist, people think you do venereal disease or snakes.
Or snakes, right? I was going to say hepatology. Yeah, yeah.
But somebody would come sent to me and they would have had all these scans, which were just not necessary.
Right.
And so it really drives up cost. Or sometimes they order a lot of scans, but not the one they should have ordered. So
or the right way or at the right location, right? Yes. There are different, exactly. Yeah.
It could have been a CT scan with contrast, but not a CT scan with slow infusion of contrast, as an example.
Right.
So we got to repeat everything. So at least that portion of it. So there is I really like your right clinician at the right time.
As you know, we've discussed, I tried to do that at least in what I know, which is orthopedic, the musculoskeletal sector, which some people say is responsible for 15% of our healthcare costs. And now as the public ages more. So I started this network of centers called Ortho Now. The name is explanatory, right? Because a lot of orthopedics, you need it now. I can tell you it has been a real bear to get even the payers to accept it and embrace it. So these are the challenges, because if people like myself are doing something proactive to help, there's a whole host of other people out there doing good things, but it's hard to get engagement.
And so going back to your public education.
Yes.
Now, by the way, so I once did a YouTube about how if you ask for the price of something, you can get a lower price. If you pay cash, you can get a lower price yet. So a woman stopped me on the street. She's from Texas, and she just happened to see me in Washington. I saw your video. The doctor ordered a CT scan of my son's shoulder. I called around, and I found a place that my hospital is going to do it for $3,000. But I found a place that would do it for $800. And I said, if I pay you cash, will you give me a discount? And they took $800 to
$600. Wow.
Now, she had a health savings account.
Right.
And so a portion of that she was just going to have to pay. She may have hit it, but she would have exhausted her health savings account. So that's where, Dr. Padilla, patient education is so critical. The patient needs to know that, wait a second, I need the right doctor at the right time. Before I start getting all these scans, should I see the specialist first? Right. Wait a second, I'm paying for my health savings account. Does the hospital charge a facility fee, which is going to add, you know, $500 to my bill just by staying here? Or can I go down the street and get a discount? If I go down the street and I pay you cash, do I get another discount? The patient can dramatically impact how much she pays out of pocket, both by the person whom she is sent to see and by the place where she then gets referred to for her diagnostics. And at some point, we're going to need that patient to collaborate if we're going to make this work.
Well, look, I want to start it at home. I'm going to make sure that my staff, we have a wonderful team, and you know, I'm solo. I'm a dinosaur. I went from a big group of hand surgeons to solo, and I've been wanting us to go with the health savings account exactly for that reason. Because that scan center is probably very happy for their cash flow to take cash, right? So. But people are resistant, and I see it in my own office, in my own medical office. So I think we have a ways to go. But as you said, public education is the way. I'd love to leave you with any parting thoughts.
You know, I thank you for this. I'm going to double down on public education. And Excellent. This is a way that we're trying to educate the public. Your listenership may be those who are health professionals, but health professionals have the role of teacher to all those who they are working with. And so I just congratulate you on this podcast, and please have me back.
Thank you. Yes, I would love to. And we're hoping that we can expand it a bit. So for that, we definitely will have you back. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Join us again in 2 weeks for our biweekly episode, Fixing Healthcare from the Trenches. Thank you, Senator Cassie, for your time. And I look forward to being up on Capitol Hill with you maybe.